Welcome to episode 44 of Marooners Talk, titled The 4400. Thanks to Tom Brown.
Actually, I'm gonna give Adam credit for that joke.
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. You need a hand.
Yeah, this is very true.
We are brought to you this week by Corn Nuts and RC Cola. We don't have the advertising connections to get Doritos and Mountain Dew, but we do what we can.
There's nothing wrong with RC Cola.
Oh, I like
RC. Corn Nuts. RC is very underrated.
It really is. It's the royal crown of colas.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Corn Nuts are ass, though.
Yeah, but you take what you can get.
Don't tell my wife that when she likes Corn Nuts.
Next time I talk to her, I'll make sure not to mention it.
So you really set up a softball right there with that one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, we're out of practice.
Well, it's been 3 months.
It has been.
Almost a few days longer, so close enough.
Well, yeah, you're in Los Angeles now, right, Chris?
We are in Marina Del Rey, actually, so we're right next to Venice Beach. It's very nice. Shitty. It's, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it's rough.
Huh. Well, I hope you guys are having a great time up there.
So far, yeah, it's been nice. I get to work from home now, so I've got a boss with my computers and my games and my TV. And we nice. Have to go to an office, and I get to sit at home and chill.
Nice.
And get paid to sit around on my ass all day, which is nice.
Yeah, and he's doing that. I'm in school. A merry band are we. What are you doing, Adam? Anything like cool?
No, I never do anything cool. Sadly.
Yeah, but at least we can depend on you not to do anything cool.
That's true. I am consistently planned. That's I think it's good because it makes you guys look even cooler.
Yeah, it really does.
I need the help, to be honest.
I don't, but I'll take it.
Any little bit.
So I gotta ask Chris because it's sitting in my bag and I haven't played it yet. How's Assassin's Creed 3?
Well, I've been playing it on the PS3, though I'd have preferred it on the 360, and it's buggy as shit on the PS3. I can't speak to whether the same is true for the 360 version, though I found that more often than not, 360 versions of multi-platform games are less buggy than PS3 versions in my own experience. We didn't get internet set up until Wednesday, and I had already been playing it for a couple of days by then, and so I didn't get the day one patch. So there are a lot of people that I'd be talking to in the game during cutscene cinematics and stuff where their mouths would be moving after they finished talking, like in an old kung fu movie. Or they'd be talking, but their mouths wouldn't be moving. Like it's still comic or something. And there were some quest-breaking, you know, there are the quests where you have to follow someone without being detected, and every now and then they'll stop, turn around, and look around, and then keep going. Well, there's one you have to follow, and he just kind of gets stuck walking in a little circle once he gets to a certain point, and you can't approach him because he'll detect you, and you can't go too far out of the way because then you lose sight of him, and you have that 15-second thing, and he just keeps fucking standing there. So I had to redo that quest 3 or 4 times before eventually he managed to move past the glitch.
I've heard that from the 360, though, too, where there's been some glitches in those. People won't follow you correctly, like weird objects will get in the way. And
oh, yeah, I was trying to kill a cougar out in the wilderness today. And he lunged at me, and we both kind of fell off the side of this hill, this little hill of rocks we were standing on. I landed okay. Except the cougar landed on its back halfway in the hill and it looked like it was on. He was on his back, and he was moving around like a kitten with catnip or something. But I couldn't attack him. I couldn't interact with him at all. He couldn't interact with me at all. But I was still hearing the danger music. Until, and I could still see his red dot on the mini map until I went far enough away for the whole thing to disappear.
Wow.
Huh.
And that's after the day one batch.
Interesting.
Yes. It could have used another month maybe just for fine tuning on the little things.
Yeah, I still hate the controls. Like, I'm just furious that the gameplay isn't improved at like I thought it would be. Having the run button the same as the climb button in a 3D environment, I think, is pretty unforgivable at this point.
It can be frustrating. That's been one of the big frustrations with the game since Assassin's Creed. Accidentally running and jumping off of a ledge when you meant not to.
Yeah, it's just so strange because at this point, you'd think that would be one of the things that they would fix first. Other games do it fine. Infamous does it fantastic. I love the way that moves and climbs, and the combat still feels a little bit, I don't know, just bizarre and off.
It's
so
difficult. I do enjoy, however, they added in, and I don't recall this from Revelations or previous, but as you're running, if you kind of hit your left joystick a little to the left or the right, instead of reducing your momentum while changing your direction, you actually do kind of a sidestep run.
Yeah.
So you can kind of zigzag your way without losing momentum and speed, which I thought was good, especially when you're trying to get away from a group of Redcoats or Patriots. So that was.
I'm slightly disappointed in the whole game, though. Like, I don't know.
What was that, Tom?
I do like running away from Redcoats.
Yeah.
Although I feel like it's a perfect time to come out with the elections and everything. Like, it just makes you feel more patriotic.
I found out that I missed a deadline for my absentee ballot registration by an hour.
What?
Yeah, I forgot about it, and I got reminded of it, and apparently I had to fax in my request by 7 p.m. Eastern time on Halloween, and I got reminded of it again. I missed it at 9 o'clock Central, so 8 p.m. Eastern, and I was like, damn.
But you know what? That means that you're very like the president, because he missed Donald Trump's deadline. So you can say that you have a similarity to the president of the United States of America.
Well, aside from the fact that I care about human beings at some level, and
Donald Trump really qualifies. Yeah.
What was his thing? It was like, give up your college records now or something?
College admission and passport application records, and he would donate $5 million to a charity of his choice.
Yeah, because trying to extort the President of the United States is just fantastic.
Oh, yeah, and that's very charitable, too. I have $5 million, but I'm only going to donate it.
That's illegal, isn't it?
No.
You would think...
I mean,
it's just saying, hey, if you do this, then I'll give money to a charity. There's no obligation to give money to a charity.
Just bizarre.
Yeah, well, you know, I like extorting the president as much as the next guy. But, damn, that's low for Trump.
It fits for Trump. I mean, he just wants the attention.
Yeah, but still, even for him, that's like a crazy attention.
The fact he got fired the next day was fantastic, too. Like, he got relieved from the board, so he's
really
out of a job. Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that. That makes me very happy.
Yes, and I don't know if it had to do with that, but yeah, the next day he was fired and kicked off the board.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
If they sat someone in a chair and did the little, like, hand motion at him. Like, imitated him, like, you're fired.
If they didn't, I'm very disappointed. So what else have we missed in our 3 month absence?
I think some Halloween movies came out that I didn't see.
Anarchy Reigns is scheduled to release in North America on January 8th.
What is
Anarchy Reigns? The kicker is it's going to be out for $29.99.
I didn't see that.
Yes, $29.99, January 8th, North America. And I paid $100 for my import
company.
What's Anarchy Reigns?
Platinum Games Brawler.
Oh.
It's really good. I mean, it was worth getting it in June or July for that much, since I couldn't get my hands on it at that point ever. So I'm not too bummed.
Well, I'm sorry that you spent $100 on a game that you could have gotten for $30.
It's okay. You know what? They deserve the money for it. So.
That's true.
Yeah. Let's
give it to them.
Well, that's good. Oh, Mr. Pandaria came out.
Oh, yeah.
It did to startlingly disappointing reviews, apparently.
The review process for MMOs is kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
I was just surprised by how many people were, I'm not saying reviewers, but actual players seem kind of disappointed by it.
Something that, Tom, you mentioned before is that with these expansions, they keep getting to have more content patched in over time that's technically part of the expansion.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the way it was with the that's how it was with the original release, too. I mean, one of the big content patches was even just adding, you know, more raid content with the inclusion of, what was it, Blackwing Lair, and then later Encourage. Even some of the most well-remembered and well-liked parts of the original game were added through content patches.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it doesn't
exactly
make sense to do a review of it.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, I mean, our favorite other news site, Kotaku's review, was carried out extremely ridiculously.
What? Kotaku's being ridiculous? Dude, shut the fuck up.
Not only was it carried out completely ridiculously, but it wasn't even relevant at all. You know, like, they didn't get a single reviewer up to level 90 to check level 90 content.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. They just played the monk class to, like, level, you know, like, 40 through the old world, through questing and stuff like that. It just, you know, even for them, it felt bad.
How do you review a game and play an eighth of it? It's like me playing a game for, you know, 30 minutes, watching the intro and going through the first tutorial and then giving it a review.
So kind of like how we did Mass Effect? No.
No, that's how they created Mass Effect and they did the game.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, but no, like, honestly, it's like why I waited until after the Dragon Soul content patch to write a review for Cataclysm, because that's the point at which the game was effectively finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, the final content had been released. You know, the class balance was where it was supposed to be, or at least where they had, you know, finished it, essentially. You know, so it's just kind of dumb to be all like, oh, I'm going to now review this game, which is effectively incomplete.
And then I'm not even going to give it enough time to really get a good view of the entire thing.
Yeah, and not even just that, but I mean, where I'm at right now in Mr. Pandaria is a completely different place than I had intended to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've main swapped again. You know, I'm playing my Death Knight as my main character right now. You know, and I had started on my warrior. In fact, I was, you know, dead set on leveling my warrior up through that whole through the whole expansion. But no playing my Death Knight.
Yeah, I think Mr. Pandaria is actually pretty great. I've got many complaints, but having been through all the raids that are out now and being up to level 90 with a couple characters, I think it's great.
Yeah, I do have one really big problem with it, though.
Yeah.
And it's the way reputation works right now.
Yes, I agree. The Valor point system is what pisses me off.
Well, honestly, the Valor point system doesn't really get to me at all. But it's the fact that, because I mean, the Valor point problem stems from the reputation problem. It's just, you know, a problem.
Yeah.
But the way, you know, whenever they introduce a new expansion pack, they introduce new factions. You know, these people who have beneficial items for you and mounts and enchants and stuff like that. And with Wrath of the Lich King, they introduced this thing called the champion system, where you would purchase their tabard and you would go into a dungeon and you would gain reputation with that faction based on whose tabard you were wearing. So,
which
like,
I liked a lot.
Yeah, and they carried it through into Cataclysm, but then they got rid of it right now with Mists of Pandaria.
So the tabards are virtually useless is the biggest problem.
Yeah, they've gone back to how they were with, what was that expansion? Burning Crusade. Where it's just, they are a reward for getting to the highest level with the individual factions.
Yeah, which is kind of silly. I don't know. I've got complaints. I've been playing so much of it, though, so I can't complain too much. Like, it's been bad. My WoW addiction has come back full-fledged, so... Yeah,
I still haven't played.
So good. It's
not a bad time to come in right now. I mean, like, I really enjoy pet battles as, like, just a little activity to...
So Pokemon of Warcraft is still actually...
Yeah, it's fun. It doesn't take away from the game as a whole. It's pretty easy.
It's just a fun little Pokemon-ish thing to do. It's great.
Yeah, and it's all just... And it's account-wide, so you don't have to do it on all of your characters.
Right on.
Thank God.
Which is the best part about the whole thing. So, I mean, it's not just even just account or, like, servers per server account. It's legitimately across every character.
Yes.
On your entire account.
Nice.
And it's amazing, at least in that implementation of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are still kind of all, oh, you've over-casualed it and blah, 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 and all that. But, hey, raiding is hard again.
And it's a lot of the new dungeons are hard as hell again. There's a lot of the boss battles, such as the monasteries I'm thinking of, that it's, the fights are a lot more complicated now.
Yeah,
there's
they
a
actually
lot
have
of stuff
camps.
Yeah, it's, I think it's great.
Yeah, we just got, just cleared Mogoshan Vaults Thursday night. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's refreshing to see that it's challenging, but not too challenging.
Yeah, I agree.
That said, Elegon might be slightly overtuned. He's the second to last boss in the first raid, and he is kind of ridiculous.
Yes. Agreed.
He's essentially a gear check and a coordination check, and either of those on their own would be okay, but having a gear and coordination check in the same, instant or in the same fight is almost a logistical nightmare.
And the Shah is just as bad with coordination. Good God.
Oh, Shah of Anger, the world
yes.
boss? Oh, that guy's a Zerg, though. I mean, he's just a Zerg rush.
I've been in, I don't know, 8 or 10 groups and only beaten him twice.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, because just people are coordinating, taking the ads and everything that come in, and it can be... be ridiculous, although maybe my server's just terrible. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
happens.
Probably likely. Yeah, so
either way, I think that the expansion, it's still really early to tell. There is a lot of PvP balance that needs to be done right now. Like, druids and warriors are just way too strong.
Beastmaster hunters?
Yeah, also really strong.
Yep.
So, but they're doing a good job of staying on top of it, and they already have a PTR up for the first content patch. Mm-hmm. So that's always a good sign that they are recognizing that there are problems and they're already working on fixes.
I'm happy it's so good because so many other games that have come out, I've just not been, they haven't been grabbing me lately. I'm excited to try Halo 4, but other than that, I feel like the fall we thought was going to be really full of stuff, and I've just been.
Well, it's because some stuff got delayed, like Far Cry 3. Like, I mean, game was going to be huge, and now that's pushed back into what? December?
I assumed that was going to get delayed, though.
We had XCOM and Dishonored, and those were both fantastic.
Yeah, but neither of those games really spoke to me.
Dishonored is great. I'm finishing that up today. Not a long game, but really awesome IP. I think that game really surprised me by how good it was.
XCOM for me was really fantastic.
I just wish the graphics were better. It looks so dated.
Yeah, it does look old.
But yeah, otherwise I love the gameplay style. It just feels like a much older game, and it's hard as shit.
Oh yeah.
Good God. I've never seen a game have to...
...tab file of all of my fallen people's names. Because I've been naming them, like, let's see, I had B.A. Baracus, I had Ivan Drago, I had Tits McGee.
It's just that I've never seen a game that had to put out a patch and make easy mode easier.
What?
Yeah, the newest patch... nerfs the difficulty of easy mode. So that tells you something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
It really is. Dishonored's frustrating enough for me right now. XCOM, I was like, all right, I gotta put this down. I can't do this right now. It's so much rage quitting.
Oh man, that's kinda ridiculous.
It is, but hilarious. I mean, good for them for putting out a game that has to do that. That's awesome, but kind of screws anyone that just was like, hey, this game looks fun, I'll try it. They probably turned a lot of people off with the difficulty curve.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand why they did it, because they wanted to make it like the old school PC, but they probably didn't ingratiate themselves to a big portion of the population.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people, myself included to some extent, are, especially the kids that I'm in class with, are all like, oh man, why aren't games hard like they used to be? And I'm just like, you know, maybe games used to be way too hard.
It's true. Well, the games weren't as big either when you're talking about cartridges. Like, you only had so much game to play, so the harder it was, the longer your experience would last.
Yeah.
So I think that might be part of it, but I guess I just don't really... A lot of the times I have too much other stuff to do than to fight through the same level for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I don't know. I think games, while they may be easier, are a lot better as a whole these days.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are still some fantastic older games, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a different level. I mean, it's almost not the same category anymore in comparison to the newer stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even graphical fidelity or anything like that. It's just overall just game experience.
Right. I mean, stories are better. There's more they can do with it. They can, like, voice acting alone. I mean,
actual orchestrated soundtracks.
Yeah.
As opposed to MIDI tracks. Like, not to say that MIDI is bad, but, you know, I mean, you can really elicit a much better emotional reaction from your audience.
Do you think Dead Space or Bioshock would be nearly as good without their soundtracks?
Oh, hell no. Exactly. Or just their audio design in general.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to about Bioshock Infinite are those, the guys who negate sound.
If that game ever comes out,
they're taking pre-orders.
They also took it on StarCraft Ghost, if I remember correctly. So
that I remember my pre-order for Halo 2.
Yeah, my problem with Bioshock Infinite is that the constant delays, and we've barely seen anything. It's supposed to come out, what, like 3-4 months? Which means it's got to be going gold. Like, they've got to be pressing it with manufacturing time in the next month to get it out in January or February. And no one's played it. There's been a couple really scripted demos, and that's it. And well, so much of the team has left, and it needs to be delayed.
We haven't heard about people playing it. I mean, there's a difference there.
Well, I don't know anyone with the few people that I know at very large sites. None of them have played it outside of the demos. It wasn't at E3. No one I know has seen it. So that's what worries me. It's just, I don't know. And I want that game to be great. I just think that they're scared of what they have to live up to. I'm not sure if they can.
Well, here's hoping that they do, because I mean, it's, you know, it is a huge game. It's a tentpole game.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, shining oasis in the period where we generally get nothing.
Yeah, although a lot of games got pushed to the beginning of the year. I mean, it's stupid how much stuff is coming out between January and March. Like, there's games like God of War are even falling through the cracks, or I'm even forgetting those are coming out. So that tells you how crowded the beginning of next year is.
Yeah, you know what game I am not excited for coming out at the beginning of next year? God of War.
Not blaming you on that one.
Yeah, I'm done with that series.
I'm not excited for this iteration, and I love the series, and I don't care about it, which is not a great sign.
I loved the first one, and then the second one was okay.
Some of Chris's IKEA furniture just broke there, I think.
Got a clearance office chair from Staples when I moved down here, and it's a little creaky.
That's clearance office furniture is the best, though. That's...
Well, it was a $200 chair, and it was $100 off. So, couldn't resist.
That's probably
worth it. That is a pretty good deal, sir.
Yeah. You know, the IKEA furniture hasn't been put together yet. It's downstairs.
Okay.
Have either of you guys ever been to a Jersey Mike's?
Yeah, I just went to one for the first time the other day, actually.
Us too. Earlier this week, first time, and there's one right across the street from our complex. So we stopped by Jersey Mike's on the way, and
I need to get a hot sub from them.
I haven't tried a hot one yet. I've tried two cold ones so far.
Well, I'm sure everybody wants to hear us talk about food.
Well, you know what? We could do our Marooners Nosh section on the podcast.
Oh man, dude, did you see that? I think I mentioned to you that Deadspin, their sports affiliate in the Gawker Network, has started doing food bits.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. Oh, and their first one that I saw anyway was why you should not drink zero calorie Red Bull. And I was like, excuse me? Zero calorie Red Bull is amazing.
I agree. The only upside of Hurricane Sandy, the only one, was that the Gawker Network went down for a while.
They're still down.
Oh, are they?
Like, yeah, they just have like the update sites. Their full sites still aren't back yet.
I know. It's the internet is a better place right now. It really is.
Yeah, for the brief period of time. I think, though, that said, that our hearts do go out to everyone else who was affected by Hurricane Sandy.
Absolutely. Right. That was terrifying. It's just such a insane confluence of events that happened, and that was terrifying. It makes those disaster movies in New York a lot less funny too.
I mean, so what? We're looking at like another several years before we get a disaster movie set in New York, because New Yorkers who portray themselves as the toughest Americans in the world are really just a bunch of pussies who don't like their city being made fun of.
Pretty much.
Yeah, probably. Although, with what happened, how can a movie top that? I mean, it was so bizarre to see half of Manhattan just in the dark, like just gone. Like,
it was Day After Tomorrow stuff, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's still people with no power and stuff. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, I have a friend who's in New Jersey whose power is still out and all that, and I was just like, whatever. I'm like, I'm sorry, buddy, your power's out. But you got told that a giant hurricane was coming at you and you refused to go anywhere.
Yo, that's not good.
It wasn't like he couldn't go somewhere else. It was that he chose to stay.
Yeah, I can't. That's tough. I mean, it wasn't Katrina level, but it was a weird, like, it's just so bizarre to see New York really just get killed by a hurricane. I mean,
it's
scary.
Happened
stuff.
Before. It's just the first time it's happened in any of our like real living memory.
Yeah.
It just seems too far north for the hurricanes to gather enough steam to make it all the way up there.
And to make it force. that terrible was, scary stuff.
Strangely enough, my first experience with a hurricane was actually further north.
Huh.
I forget which one it was. It was in the late 80s, and it had bounced off of New York, essentially, and went out into the North Atlantic before it died, and I was on a cruise ship in the North Atlantic.
Wow. So, that sounds like a blast.
Yeah. Well, it was for me because I was like 6 years old, so it was just like, ooh, roller coaster on the high seas. You know?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, my dad spent the whole time, my dad and my little sister and my older sister spent the whole time, you know, curled up in a ball in the cabin because, you know, we're in the seas in like 20, 30 foot swells.
Damn.
And, they weren't dealing too well with it.
For reasonable people, that's scary.
Oh, I'm not saying it wasn't scary. I'm just saying that I wasn't, seasick from it.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was having a lot of fun.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fun-loving guy, okay?
It's true. You can make the best out of any situation. That's your superpower.
Well, I tried, except for... Oh, yeah, that's my 4400 superpower.
There you go.
What's yours, Chris, aside from annoying the crap out of me?
Mine was the opposite of Domino and Longshot.
Oh, yeah, so you screw up all odds.
The odds work against me whenever they possibly can.
I think that's
I say that, but then I realize where I am and what I get to do right now, and I realize I'm full of shit, but it still sounds nice to say. So.
It's still funny, yeah. That's which is really all that matters, is that you get to laugh.
Exactly.
No, exactly. And what does that make Adam like our FBI liaison?
Yeah, because I sure as hell didn't get any superpowers.
Oh, or Adam can be our... do you remember the Super Friends TV show?
Yeah.
Can Adam be our Gleek?
No, you know what? I think a little bit more highly of Adam than that. Adam can be like the little teenager that follows us around.
I was going to say, that's hilarious for the three people that got the reference.
Sadly, all three of them are in the show.
Exactly. Oh, God. Still, I'm okay with this just because it's hilarious.
Hey, we got our rhythm back.
Oh, speaking of, have either of you seen the Robot Chicken DC special?
Oh, I missed
it. Not yet.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm the one who's seen that. Normally, Adam, you're really into Robot Chicken, aren't you?
Yeah, and DC, so...
Yeah. It's fucking brilliant. Top to bottom, brilliant.
I'm sad to say that the only time I ever turn on Cartoon Network anymore is for Adventure Time.
I've watched a few episodes of that, and it hasn't really gone beyond that yet.
That is like the most ridiculously amazing epic show ever.
You need with Robot Chicken, when they do specials is when they're really, that's when they just hit it. Mm. And those are always worth watching because they're always brilliant. The Star Wars one was great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Both Star Wars ones were great.
Yeah.
Well, did they do three?
There was a third
one. Yeah. I thought they did one for each.
Yep, they did one for each film. And I'm sure they'll do one now with the Disney purchase. They can probably come up with some good stuff.
Yeah, I can't believe that one pre-show that all of us forgot about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's so recent. I mean,
It still really hasn't even sunk in yet.
Here's the thing, I'm not worried about it, to be honest, because it means that Lucas isn't going to be helming any more Star Wars movies, and we saw what Disney did with the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of speculation that I read on Comic Vine, where they're like, because it wasn't just Star Wars that got bought. It was all of Lucasfilm and all of their properties, which includes Indiana Jones, which means that we could see a rebooted Indiana Jones, which I'd be okay with.
A rebooted Howard the Duck?
Yeah.
A lot of people are slightly less okay with.
but
a lot of people are looking forward to the Grim Fandango movie.
We could have Indiana Jones in the Marvel universe, and it would fit.
Yeah, and the fact that
we could
Princess
have
Leia
Indiana Jones as a founding member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's awesome.
That would actually be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Like how I awesome would it be that if there was an updated Indiana Jones rebooted and he's friends with Howard Stark?
Yeah. I mean, and he could, what he collects could be, you know, some of those artifacts that pop up in the Avengers and Iron Man, all sorts of, yeah. I actually really like the move, because what was the last good thing LucasArts did? Like, what was the last thing George Lucas did that was great? That we were all like, hell yes.
Tell BioWare that they could make Knights of the Old Republic.
Well, yeah. And one of my favorite thing was Ron Gilbert tweeting at Disney and saying, hey, guys, I'm kind of interested in buying this game I made called Monkey Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they own Monkey Island and Grim Fandango, or is it Psychonauts they've got?
Grim Fandango.
Fandango.
Yeah, Psychonauts
and Full
is still
Throttle.
Line, I think.
Yeah.
Really? They own all of the great Tim Schafer classics, aside from the new one, which is Psychonauts.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but I trust Disney because they'll give it to new people. And Lucas has done nothing but hurt us with Star Wars for so long. I'm fine with it.
There is one slight problem with Disney. They don't know how to make a game.
Well, that was the interesting thing, is Disney said they aren't interested in publishing games.
Well, then they need to build a good studio then. If they're not interested in publishing, then find a good publishing partner and get a good in-house development studio.
I think they're just going to sell the properties to someone. If, you know, BioWare or Bethesda was like, hey, we want to make a Star Wars game, they'll probably just have to pay Disney for the license and they get to make it.
I wouldn't want to see? A Bethesda Star Wars game.
I think it could be very good.
If Todd Howard does it.
We're just like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Bethesda. I love their games, but I don't think that the type of games that they make would work as a work for Star Wars.
But they did publish Dishonored, which was phenomenal, and you could make, like, I think that team could make some pretty amazing Star Wars stuff. There's so much that they can do, and I imagine Disney's just going to hand over the reins to other game developers to make whatever the hell they want, and I think that's going to be a big win, because even the LucasArts games haven't been that amazing in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
No, there have been some good ones, but for the most part, it's been not so good.
But hey, 2015, who's looking forward to that Star Wars movie?
I kind of am.
When I know more about it, because haven't they come out and said they're not doing Thrawn?
They haven't come out and said anything.
Okay. Right. Just that they want to do one every other year or something?
Well, and I saw there was speculation on Ada Cool, I think, that Brad Bird and... who was it? God, Brad Bird and someone else were already working on something that was codenamed 1951.
52.
Okay. And that essentially was the preparation for the new Star Wars movie, and that it's written, and they already have people in place for directing and producing, and now they can move forward with everything.
Well, it would have to be already written almost to make a 2015 schedule.
Yeah.
I think that the funniest thing about all of this I saw was the Conan O'Brien sketch of Michael Moore auditioning to direct the next Star Wars movie. And it was this, like, one of the bit players on his show, it's obviously not Michael Moore, who's like walking into an Imperial office building where stormtroopers are the desk attendants and trying to get an interview with Darth Vader because he got cut thousands of jobs at the lightsaber factory in Flintoine, the planet he was from. And it was just, it was pretty amazing.
Did you see the Disney little trailer video thing that they released this week on the announcement?
I did not.
A guy as Darth Vader and a couple of stormtroopers. It started off with a little text saying, well, now that Disney owns Star Wars, what are you going to do? And it has Darth Vader going to Disneyland flanked by a couple of stormtroopers. And so he goes on the teacups, and he goes on, I think, Space Mountain, and he goes on, you know, all this kind of stuff, and you have the stormtroopers getting him cotton candy and shit like that.
I really hope that he went on Star Tours and then was all like, wait a minute, why am I screwing with myself?
Well, that's the thing. At this point, Star Wars is so commercialized. What can Disney do that makes it any worse?
Yeah. The only hope is that the trade-off now is that we'll actually get better content.
Yeah. And yeah. I hope that they are pretty loose with the licensing for games. And we see some people that really love it that want to make great games. And 1313, I think, isn't going to be affected. So
yeah, I hope that they also don't get rid of, or, you know, essentially neuter things like the Clone Wars, which are already doing very well. Mm-hmm. And can find a balance between those of us like us who want Star Wars to grow up with us and keeping it also a child-friendly property.
Yeah, I think that they can do that, because Lucas obviously didn't get that. Like, when he made the prequels, it was obviously aimed at kids, and that was so strange because most of his audience is our age.
Yeah.
So I never understood that.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's not most of his audience, because when you think about it, like, I mean, we all, because we're all 82 kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we were only alive for one of those movies.
Yeah, right. And not even alive enough to really understand right. it at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And as awesome as it would be to have seen those movies in their original format in theaters, you know, I mean, we grew up with the VHS, you know, like, remember when the first THX update of those came out, and it was like first time most of us saw them in widescreen?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was amazingly epic. But the people who were like 10 and 15 years older than us were those people who can really kind of claim ownership to Star Wars. And like my oldest sister, who is 39 this year, she has two kids, one who's just about 10 years old and another who I think is 7 or 8, you know. And Star Wars for her kids, she loves the new trilogy because they're kid friendly. Like the originals were for her, you know, and I'm all like, you know, that's great for you, but for me,
you're right.
You know, but I mean, but that's where the games have really stepped in for us, and the books and the comics.
Yeah,
the books, you know, more than the games.
Well, it depends on the games. Knights of the Old Republic was an amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Story
yeah,
that could have been so easily broken into its own trilogy.
I really liked the Force Unleashed. I just thought the story was. So it was, stupid. They could have done
so over the top.
The gameplay is really good, though. I really enjoyed jumping around. But my favorite Star Wars game to play still is Jedi Academy.
Yes.
I play the shit out of that game.
You know, I might have to agree with you on that one.
Really? Wow, hey.
Because that was the last of the Jedi Knight series, right?
Yeah,
and that's the one where Kyle Katarn even makes the joke about how we're probably going to have to like go get the key from down here only to have to backtrack all the way back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Self-referential humor like that really scores points with me. Especially when they're making fun of my major complaints in the previous entries in the series.
Yeah, I'm personally, I'm just excited for it. I'm gonna stay optimistic and see what happens.
Well, I think when you were talking about hoping that they'll be kind of play it loose with the licensing, I think they will. They don't have any real vested interest in where the story goes and what
right.
is allowed to happen. Whereas Lucas was kind of, I mean, we all know what he's been doing to the original trilogy. He's been trying to make it, for the most part, more kid friendly. I mean, Han Solo shooting in self-defense rather than being a scoundrel and shooting first because he's going to live no matter what it takes is that kind of attitude that has probably kept a lot of the game development from being what it could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, Knights of the Old Republic was good, but even that was a completely different era. So that was more acceptable to do whatever. I, you know, I'd like to see more, you know, I'd like to see New Jedi Order.
Yes.
And everything yes. In between. I'd like to see Thrawn. I'd like to see the Corellian stuff. I'd like to see everything leading up to New Jedi Order, and then I'd like it to pick up from there.
It's such a rich possibility. I mean, there's just so much there. Even if they used existing stories from the EU, there's plenty there. So, yeah, I'm hoping that people that really are passionate about the development get it.
I don't want to see the Yuuzhan Vong, personally.
No.
I didn't like them as villains. They struck me too much as like the Borg. And while I like the Borg, it just they felt more like a response in Star Trek or in Star Wars than something, you know, unique to them.
I like them, but I kind of agree with you. But granted, that series started with an R.A. Salvatore entry, so. It really had no hope to begin with.
R.A. Salvatore does kind of suck.
He really does. Yeah, it's true. I mean, ask 38 Studios. They certainly got their money's worth out of him.
Yeah.
God, that was really sad, though.
Well, they earned like $650,000 or something.
They got $83,000 off of their auction.
Oh.
So I mean, it's so sad. In fact, they were selling Xbox dev kits during their auction. Yeah, so damn Xbox it. Had to tell them to go fuck themselves and give them back their dev kits.
Wow. Yeah, because those are rented; they aren't purchased.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it was really hilarious because they amongst the goods were like trash barrels from the offices full of scissors. Like just weird stuff. I mean, they seriously got rid of everything, but they only made $83,000, which is just so depressing.
God, I feel a little bad for the state of Rhode Island.
Well, I don't, because they're the ones that really kind of screwed them over with baiting them there. If 38 hadn't moved, I think that it would be a completely different story right now.
Yeah. Well, it also would have been a completely different story, too, if they had just given, you know, tax credit as opposed to loans.
Right. Like, they should have gotten into the business of actually being, you know, a shareholder of a company.
Well, they didn't know what they were doing.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they're a state, not a bank.
Exactly.
And I think it's really unfair because, I mean, I really liked Kingdoms of Amalur. I had some complaints on it, but I thought the gameplay was really fun. Like, there was so much potential that their first outing was a lot better than I expected it to be.
And yeah, I remember reading your review about how the environments, and we talked about it too, the environments start getting repetitive, and the story you weren't too crazy about.
Yeah, but I that's stuff that they could have learned from and overcome, and that's what's just so sad. And now they're being sued for like $75 million and...
Yeah,
just it's really sad for the entire industry.
There's no way they can make up that money.
No.
I mean, there's no way in hell that they can liquidate enough assets or even, you know, get the money from Kurt Schilling.
No. I think he's
given up almost everything he's got already.
He's given up everything he's got. I mean, the only way he's going to make it back in any way is if he goes on the next Celebrity Apprentice.
But, you know, I mean, I'll have to say, even though he is partially responsible for what happened with it...
He's entirely responsible.
Well, no, I mean, there's responsibility with the state of Rhode Island. There's responsibility with a lot of it
was,
him, but he's been taking the responsibility for it financially. And
yeah.
He hasn't been backtracking. He hasn't been bitching about it. He's been saying, you know what, I fucked up. I'm liquidating my assets as much as I can.
I love that towards the end, he went to a bank with gold coins and was like, I'm putting these up as collateral. And I was like, who does that?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just really sad to see the whole thing happen. And just, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a stain on the industry, and it makes the whole business side of the industry look dicey. And that's, I don't know. I just don't think it's a good representation at all.
No, it really isn't. But I mean, again, as we said, the bulk of this problem comes down to Curt Schilling. And he didn't know how to run a business. He didn't know how to run a game studio. You know, it just, that is exactly what happened. It was a guy who had no idea what he was doing, given way too much responsibility. And there was really no way it could have ended happily.
Well, and his passion for things like baseball and stuff, like he was able to be successful because he was just so in love with the game, and he worked so hard, and he really thought that his attitude, which served him well in every other aspect of his life, was going to be enough, and it isn't. That's not how the industry works, and the best intentions and all that. I mean, he just was in over his head early on.
Yeah, one of the things I was talking to some kids at school about this, because they're all just kind of getting used to this idea of the game industry being a business,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I kind of wish that I could look at things with that whole like childish wonder that they have.
Yeah,
because it's really kind of, touching in a way, because it's all like, oh man, I remember when I thought it was all just about telling these great stories and, you know, this and that. And, but you know, it is a business at the end of the day. And absolutely. Curt Schilling, talented baseball player that he is, didn't know how to run a business.
No. Yeah, it's depressing. So maybe something great will come out of this, some amazing lesson for the industry, but I guess hopefully somebody great buys the Amalur license and we get a sequel at some point, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
That the big lesson that the industry is going to be learning here in the near future is going to be when this Kickstarter bubble bursts.
Yeah.
That's going to be funny.
Yeah, because, I mean, all these games getting backed on Kickstarter, it can't continue on like this for that long.
Have we seen any games from Kickstarter released yet?
Not yet, but nothing's come up on their release window.
Yeah, that's what's... I mean, it doesn't, I guess, worry me, but as many of as I've donated to, and then it's just kind of like, oh, we're funded, great, and nothing. So, a little bit...
There was one thing that I got linked to last week that had already been canceled because of... It made $47 against a goal of 7,000, I think.
Oh.
And it was, what was it called? SpongeBall Z.
Yeah,
you saw that? It was like
yes.
a Dragon Ball Z web parody, except using the characters from SpongeBob SquarePants. I'd have enjoyed watching that.
I would have too, absolutely.
I just didn't know about it until after it was out of time.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of ridiculous.
There's just so many questions about the business side of the industry anyway at this point. It's really tough to see what's going to happen. Because all we're really getting now is big titles. We're not seeing as many risks as I think we're, even the last like 5 years that we've seen. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, though. I mean, I think the most productive use of it has been and will be from the independent development studios that are doing something on the side, like Uber with Planetary Annihilation. Mm-hmm. Really looking forward to that one. And I'm not a big fan of RTSs, but that still that got me hooked. And I mean, obviously, Double Fine. You know that Double Fine and Uber, unless something catastrophic happens and they have to shutter, you know that those games are going to come out and that they'll put extra time and effort into them because of the source of the funding.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have some others who maybe are just getting on the bandwagon and they probably don't care as much. They're just going to turn it around quick. And that's, well, I think, where the problem with the Kickstarter bubbles are going to come in.
Well, who was it that just got... was it Obsidian who just got Wasteland 2?
Project Eternity?
Yep. Yeah.
Which, like, I helped fund, even though Obsidian hasn't made a quality game in how long now? But
yeah, but to some extent, how much of that is their fault and how much of that is the fault of, say, their publishers?
I think most of it's on them.
Yeah, but I mean, look at, like, say, Knights of the Old Republic, right? I mean, Knights of the Old Republic 2 got thrown on them at the last minute, and the publisher was all like, make this game now.
Okay. What's the excuse for Neverwinter Nights 2?
I personally didn't think that game was that bad. New Vegas, I just couldn't get into.
Well, because it was terrible. that's kind of the problem. But, you know, I still think that the crowdsourcing is kind of a fun idea, and I donated to a lot of the games just to kind of see how it went with the industry. And even Penny Arcade did the Kickstarter, which I thought was very freaking strange to see.
Their Kickstarter did not put ads on the website?
Yeah. That was sketchy. Because technically Kickstarter, in their bylaws, in their rules, it's specifically for creation of that product that will be purchased kind of thing.
Well, they got around it because they said that they would use the money as well to bring back things like their podcasts and do other projects and take time off the site to do more of their long comic form stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, they got around it by saying, hey, we're Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
That's how they got around it. Yeah, really, I mean, to like literally look at the Kickstarter rules that were changed afterwards to, I think, allow... Or no, they were more strict in certain respects. But, it was shady. I mean, good for them, though. I don't see them... Because that's just for 1 year. They're going to have to... You know, at the end of the year, the ads are going to come back on the site.
Yeah.
It's an interesting experiment, though. I just don't know how long that entire Kickstarter thing is going to last for any situation. And I've donated to a lot of other Kickstarters outside of the game industry, and I've seen nothing for all of it yet. So I don't know if my experience is indicative of everyone's, but none of the projects I've donated to have come through with anything yet.
I backed a project, actually. But not a video game.
And did you get your product or whatever was promised?
Well, it's not promised until January, so I'll let you know.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
But I backed Werewolf the Apocalypse, the 20th anniversary edition.
Oh, okay.
So they set a goal of $85,000, and they made
$383,000. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Well. So here's hoping that works out well.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed Werewolf the Apocalypse.
Well, luckily, we have games that don't need crowdsourcing that are still coming out, so that's...
that's always a good sign.
Yeah. Did anyone get a review copy of Halo 4, just out of curiosity?
No. I mean, a lot of people have.
But neither one of you guys have played it yet? Okay. I'm very curious, because the people that I've talked to that have are... I mean, they're agreeing with the reviews, like near-perfect scores and...
I've been hearing very, very good things.
Yeah, I haven't heard a single negative about it yet.
I've been hearing that apparently the multiplayer feels more like, what's that game? Call of Duty?
Call of what?
Yeah, Blops.
Fucking hate that.
Or, I'm sorry, Futurer Soldier is what it is right now. Which, to be fair, though, Future Soldier did kind of ride on what limited success Homefront had, but... They were both in development at the same time.
As long as it doesn't feel like Medal of Honor Warfighters, I'm fine with it.
See, I'm hearing mixed reviews about that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, one of my classmates really enjoys it.
Oh, I think it's
hip hop gamer.
No, he's not.
I was saying, I think it's Stockholm.
He is from California, though. I don't know what that says about him.
Yeah, that's terrible. But I am curious about the Halo multiplayer just because they had that sexist banning thing going on now from 3-4.
Sure, you don't mean sexiest?
Well, a lot of those comments are sexy. I don't know. I think misogynism is sexy, but.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about because Kotaku is down, so they can't report on it for another 4 days. Being 4 days late.
Basically, their new rule is anyone who says anything sexist or anti-woman, which I kind of agree with this idea, they're going to permaban them. If you are sexist in any way or derogatory towards women or to women playing the game, you will get banned not only from Halo and the 343 servers, but from Xbox Live.
Huh.
So how about women who are being sexist to men?
I don't think that counts because it's like people being racist to white people.
It's a weird situation because, like, if you think about it, I'm obviously very much a feminist. I have no problem with this. I will usually side with women on most issues. But how do they report this? How do they? Are they going to listen in on every match ever?
Right.
Like, there's almost no way. Because if it's just people getting reported, there's going to be a lot of grief reports. And how do they police this? And where is the line between what's sexist and what's not sexist? And can we be sexist towards men? That's a good question. Or anyone else? Like,
right.
It's such a nebulous thing that I don't see how in God's name they're going to police it.
Like, let's say I'm playing Halo 4 with a friend of mine, and you know, the dude, and I call him Sugar Tits. I mean, that could be sexist. He's a dude. Would I get permabanned for calling him Sugar Tits?
I think another really good question on this issue is how much of our data that goes back and forth on Xbox Live does Microsoft actually keep and look through? You know, I mean, this goes under the enforcement issue. Like, are they pulling all of our communication data?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how this entire thing is going to work out. I think it's awesome that they're trying to make it more open. But, I mean, Microsoft kind of let the cat out of the bag for the racists and the sexist people out there with internet anonymity to just be able to go crazy. I don't see how they're going to pull it in. I just don't see how it's going to work.
Well, maybe they're going to take a page from, Extra Credits book and make it so you actually have to earn the right to comment and stuff like that. And if you get enough negative reviews, you actually lose discernible abilities.
That seems more even hit, but still a lot of people could grief it just because, I mean, they don't like the way you're playing. They're just annoyed by something you said or they don't, whatever. Like, you're on their team and they lost and you might get a lot of people reporting you even though you didn't do a damn thing.
Well, to be fair, though, most of the people who are just reporting because they're just, like, pissed off or something, they don't know how to form complete sentences.
That's very true.
You know, or spell correctly. And, I mean, admittedly, some of that in Xbox Live is because of just, you know, how difficult it is to, you know, write stuff there. But,
oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, we got a chat pad, and it was one of the best Xbox purchases I've ever made.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm right with you. Even that, though, is still a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Interesting times. But I'm just curious to see how they try to pull in the bullshit comments. Like, I don't think it's possible. So,
we'll find out.
Yeah, it makes me a little scared to go into the multiplayer, but we'll see.
I'll just do what I do in normal multiplayer and just not say anything stupid.
And mute the hell out of everyone, yeah. It's kind of cool because there's definitely people that are really fun and nice people out there that I could run into randomly on Xbox Live, but because the mess of bullshit, I mute everyone. I don't even try to talk to people. I mute them unless I'm in a party with people I know.
Yeah.
You know, we've actually ended up meeting a few, like, becoming Xbox Live friends with a few people that we just met in that game.
Yeah, which I think is awesome. And I'm, I don't think that that's would really be difficult to do, but I think a lot of people are scared to go into Xbox Live because it's so ridiculous what you have to hear and deal with.
No one wants to hear those things about their mother. That's just not
I know. Like,
even if they're true.
Even if they're, especially if they're true.
Yeah, I mean, I can. My dad and I can say that stuff about my mother just fine. I don't need other people to do it on the internet.
Exactly.
Kidding, mostly. So yeah, weird idea for 343 Studios to do that.
Well, but you know, I think 343 has been on the roll with weird ideas. There are currently 120 limited edition units of Halo 4 being released into the world that come with a 343 signed special edition Halo 4 bag of Doritos and can of Mountain Dew. Signed
come with
by 343 staff.
I'm gonna say, does it come with a picture of the dead-eyed Jeff Keighley?
I don't know, but it should.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I saw Lindsay's complaint about it too, like how they've really kind of stereotyped us as like, hey, we drink Mountain Dew and eat junk food. That's what gamers do.
No, seriously. Like, I don't drink Mountain Dew.
I don't either.
I
don't
eat the shit out of Doritos. But I
loathe Doritos, and I don't eat when I play video games. I play video games. It's just weird.
I've cut back on my Doritos intakes considerably over the years. But I can get down with a nice bag of nacho cheese Doritos if I'm not careful.
I like them when I'm playing D&D, and that's pretty much about it.
That fits, though. It's
you gotta have Cheetos and Mountain Dew when you're doing D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just giving us a bad name as gamers, and sort of continuing to trivialize and juvenilize the industry and the people that play the games.
Yeah, but I mean, World of Warcraft had their own Mountain Dew flavors. Remember that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I was talking about that kind of shit with Lindsay, though, and it pisses me off that these... And, yeah, I can understand, you know, we want to make more money, but, you know, Ubisoft has been going crazy with partnering with reality stars and sports stars and energy drink companies and all this shit to put their games on everything. And it, to me, cheapens the experience and the value of the game.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just knock it the fuck off. Focus on the game. I realize that you're probably making crazy money off of this, but you're going to be making crazy money off of the game itself.
It's sort of like the Jessica Chobot being in Mass Effect 3 thing, where it was this weird confluence of people and interests, and even if there was nothing improprietous about it, it just felt wrong and looked wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand. Wrong. That's perfect.
Exactly. It's just it looks bad regardless of the intentions. And
was it me or did it just seem like she played a terrible journalist?
Well, so
she didn't seem like she was a good on-screen personality.
Yeah, and which is weird. I mean, I've met her, and I think she's a wonderful person, and she was extremely nice to me, and like I have no problem, but it was weird that they put her recognizably in the game, not even just playing a voice actor, but recognizable as who she was.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's those weird media interest things that it leaves a bad taste in my mouth with games, and it's going to be hard for us to get more legitimized as games should be with that kind of crap going on.
I'm sorry, is Chobot like her real last name, or is that a attempted a geeky stage name or something?
I believe it's her real name.
Okay. That's quite convenient, then.
Yeah.
Oh. Isn't she with IGN or whatever?
It was, but then she's also a G4 host. She does more stuff for now.
She's
and...
not going to be a G4 for much longer.
neither is anyone, apparently.
Whatever. G4 has fallen from grace.
Yeah. I'm not sad to see Attack of the Show disappear.
I was sad to see the screensavers become Attack of the Show.
Oh, God.
Because I really liked Leo Laporte. And Kevin Rose was all right.
I just felt the whole show was so stupid and immature in general. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm an old curmudgeon, but that sort of stuff just doesn't appeal to me, and I don't want to be associated with it.
Well, I think it also goes back to what you were saying with how gamer culture is portrayed. And to be completely fair, though, it's a stereotype that we perpetuate on ourselves.
Yeah, I think that it's less us at this point than the ideas people have. And they just keep getting pointed out in the media. I don't think they're as true to life as they were.
It becomes exaggerated.
Yeah, but I agree that the stereotype came from somewhere, and there's a reason for them.
I think there was a core market that was a core something that fit that. But then as the medium expanded more and more and brought in so many more people, that core is a smaller percentage now compared to everything else. And so the stereotypes that the core developed are now being applied to the entirety when that is no longer really the case.
Yeah. It's strange. Hopefully the industry catches up to it.
Hopefully. We'll find out, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath.
You saw there was a Halo 4 iOS game?
What?
That Sterling was going on about? Okay, so there's this, I think it was in New Zealand or something, on the New Zealand App Store. And it's an official Halo 4 iOS app. And, you know, you're playing this kind of Halo 4 type shooter game. Except to reload, you have to use your phone's camera to scan the barcode or the front of a bag of Doritos or a Mountain Dew.
That's reload terrible. Your gun.
That's not okay.
Yeah, it's co-sponsored by 7-Eleven and Mountain Dew and Doritos and a couple of other things even.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That is like a new low.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that to make its way into actual console gaming in some form or another. Or, you know, you have Master Chief, like, come into this cutscene guzzling a Mountain Dew. Like, how refreshing. Now what's going on?
But I guess part of it is, like, that shit happens in movies constantly. But
Well, you saw iRobot?
Yeah, yeah. Pepsi, Converse All-Stars.
Audi.
Yeah, and that's sometimes annoying, but sometimes okay. And I guess games are so expensive now that they kind of have to do that to fund the game.
I won't hold it against them as long as they don't put it out in everyone's face. Like, if you want to, you know, if you have a character walking into an office building and there are some Pepsi cans and Doritos sitting in the break room, okay, yeah, there's still product placement of seeing Doritos and Pepsi cans, but at least they're in a setting that you would expect to see them in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not the main character walking around spending half of his time trying to solve a puzzle and half of his time talking about how much he fucking loves Dr. Pepper.
That said, I love Dr. Pepper 10. It is truly a soda for the modern man on the go.
We've sunk about as low as we can get, I think, at this point.
Yeah, except the difference is that we haven't sunk because we didn't get any money for it.
Exactly.
That's true. I don't know if
legitimately, though, Dr. Pepper 10 is pretty delicious.
Yeah, I just love Dr. Pepper, but I haven't had a Dr. Pepper in 7 years.
Yeah, not a big soda.
I have a Dr. Pepper 10 on my desk right now.
Nice. I have beer on my desk right now, so I guess that...
And what kind of beer is the beer for the modern man on the go?
It's called Dirty Bastard. It's by a local brewery here in Grand Rapids.
So. No, I saw you talking about beer with a few people.
Yeah.
This week, I think it was.
Yeah.
You had one that tasted like burnt pork.
Yes. Honest to God, I mean, it tasted like charcoal ash smells and a little porky. It was the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. And I drink just about any beer. I mean, I can even down Bush if I have to. And that stuff, like, I gagged and immediately threw it away. I cannot even understand how that got made.
It's for a very specific market, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
Butchers and...
The pig liquors? I don't know, but yeah, not good.
I don't know. I have a shampoo now that smells like a smokehouse. That's pretty awesome.
See, that would just get confusing.
No, you know what? It helps me wake up in the morning.
Really hungry.
It helps wake up in the morning. Oh, and Chris, I didn't send you a picture of the delicious brunch that I had today, but I did send it to Adam to taunt him.
That's a pretty impressive.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Well, it had just worked out that Adam had sent me a post or had mentioned me on Twitter right before I was sitting down to it.
Okay.
So, but it's there's this place. Yeah, there's this place here in Chicago called Orange, and it's a breakfast place. And their shtick is that just about everything that they make can have oranges in it.
Okay.
What I had actually did not. But they have like an orange-infused coffee, which is delicious.
Wow. Jesus.
And we did have that. But they do this thing called a pancake flight. And it changes every few weeks. And this is the first time we've been in months. And the pancake flight this time were cookie pancakes. So, like, one of them was, like, chocolate brownie inspired. Another one was, like, cookies and cream. There was, like, a walnut fruit cookie and then oatmeal raisin and stuff. And it was just, they were, you know, four mini stacks of silver dollar pancakes. And it was amazing.
I still have to send you those specialized
flour rolls.
I've got them sitting on the counter here.
Well, I'm in the process of sending you those pancakes.
Right on.
Yeah, man, the cookies and cream were quite possibly my favorite. The chocolate brownie ones were just way too rich. But still delicious.
I need to go there next time I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, you should. They're up. Hey, and if you're here and you're going to go there, just shoot me a tweet because I live like less than half a mile away from there.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we just yesterday I was like, hey, sweetie, let's go to Orange in the morning. And she's like, okay. And then the next morning we just walk.
Vampires are beautiful. Awesome.
You son of a bitch.
I was going to say, so Tom, you're excited for Breaking Dawn Part 2, huh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Holy shit, right. These look fucking awesome.
I know, right? I'm about as excited for that movie as I am my impending suicide.
Fair point.
But. No, there's. I mean, I am excited for Wreck-It Ralph, though. That looks pretty fun.
We're going to go see that this weekend.
That was not on my radar at all until I think it was. Who the hell was it? I think it was Mitch Dyer from IGN and someone else on my Twitter feed were talking about crying at the end of it and like how it was incredible. And I was shocked. Like I did not think it would be that fantastic, but I'm kind of interested now.
Oh, that movie was on my radar the moment that they had the movie villain support group.
Yeah.
Or video game villain support group and they had legitimate video game villains.
Yeah, I saw the trailer today finally and I was like, Zangief? Bowser? Okay, shit, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
on Bison.
Just because you're the bad guy doesn't make you a bad guy.
Yeah, and also Dr. Robotnik was in there. I'm fairly certain that zombie, while generic zombie, was probably meant to be from House of the Dead. If only because they have the Sega license and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if we're going to see it today or tomorrow, but it'll be this weekend. I've been looking forward to that one for a while. It's almost, I mean, it's kind of like Reboot the movie.
Yeah, except Reboot was bad.
Reboot was awesome.
Reboot was fantastic. Absolutely. I watched Reboot like crazy.
Yeah, Reboot was the shit.
Yeah.
Well, we're back in equilibrium because I'm going to have to disagree.
All right, everything is as it should be.
Glad that the universe still works.
I just didn't like, I mean, the first episode, I was like, yeah, this is really cool. But then I was just like, this is also still really kind of dumb.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was kind of dumb, but the whole concept was so fun. And the stories were pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I guess.
Silly.
Yeah, so, hey, the Tigers.
Yeah, we're embarrassing.
That was really embarrassing.
Oh, it's terrible. And I was actually, I'm surprised San Francisco's riot was bigger than Detroit's. Like, I was worried, but I suppose there's not enough people in Detroit to really riot anymore, but yeah, not good.
Yeah, I really wanted to see somebody win that wasn't the Yankees, and I was hoping it was the Orioles, but it was not meant to be.
It's okay. It was still kind of awesome. I mean, San Francisco, I love the city, so hey.
Like, I wish I gave a shit about baseball, because this could have been a really good year for me.
Oh, are you a San Francisco fan?
If I gave a shit about baseball, I probably would be. So, I mean, yeah. I missed opportunity, I guess.
No, it was definitely a very interesting season for baseball. I mean, especially because, like, I'm an Orioles fan, always have been, always will be, despite poor ownership and all that.
Yeah.
But we had just a flat out amazing season. Like, I mean, I would have been happy with finishing at 500, but having a run at the playoffs and taking the Yankees the distance in the divisional series, you know, I'm amazingly proud of the Orioles.
See, and that's good. I mean, you can be proud of a good performance, even if the team doesn't make it all the way to the end. That's...
Yeah, I guess just years of practice. I'm not used to winning or anything that I enjoy winning. So I'm used to just being happy with mediocrity.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. I mean, this is the first time the Orioles have been in the playoffs in 16 years.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was quite the shock. One of my good friends from college was an Orioles fan growing up, and then he switched to liking the Yankees because he did not like the ownership of the Orioles. And I was just like, all right, I can understand not liking the ownership, but you're seriously going to back the Yankees now just because you don't like the owner? And then you're going to sit there and just crap all over all of their success because you still don't like the owner, who at this point literally does nothing. You know, he's finally doing what everybody has wanted him to do for years, and everyone's now mad at him.
You can't please anyone, really. Fans are just fickle bitches.
Yeah, you can't please sports fans ever.
You can't please any fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really, because I think we've given a pretty good indication you can't please video game fans either.
Yeah. What do you mean this game was everything we ever asked for? This sucks.
Exactly. We're kind of assholes, really.
Oh man, I'm generally very happy with the games that I purchase. You know, like, I mean, as we were saying, you and I are both very pleased with Mr. Pandaria.
Mm-hmm.
As I look at my game shelf, the first title that pops out to me is Halo 3 ODST.
Oh, that was awesome. Game.
Yeah, that's probably like, just leaving out my own personal preferences, not, I'd say that's the best Halo game that's ever been made.
I agree. No, I agree. I'd play Halo 3 ODST more than I'll ever play any other Halo game.
Interesting. I
mean, it was so well put together, and the storytelling was really great. The voice acting was amazing. You know, it was nice to see a side story and not just be, dude McBig Huge. You know, no offense to the Master Chief, he's one of my favorite characters, but, you know, the more interesting people in the Halo universe are the not Master Chiefs.
I find it hilarious you call him a character, because I wasn't really aware there was one there, but...
No, he's a placeholder.
Yeah.
He's us. Like, that's why we don't ever need to see his face, because it's our face.
I did like Firefight Mode, and I'm kind of pissed it's not in Halo 4.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Halo 4, real quick, though, have any of you guys seen Forward Unto Dawn?
No.
Not yet.
Holy shit.
That's pretty much the general consensus I've heard.
Like, it's amazing. It's on Machinima Prime's YouTube channel, and you can watch all five parts of it. Or you could wait until Tuesday. I think it's included in the actual Halo disc.
Nice.
but it's pretty amazing. Like the Master Chief doesn't show up until the last 30 minutes. And yeah, it's pretty fucking epic. Yeah, it's amazing. You also finally get to see other Spartans. Like real Spartans, not like Spartan 3s. Or the crappy whatever they were Spartans from Halo Reach. Have either of you guys like read any of Halo Expanded Universe stuff?
I mean, I liked the ODST campaign and some of the Anniversary Edition multiplayer. Otherwise, I honestly couldn't give two shits about Halo.
Okay, so that would be a no for Chris. but no, they introduced a couple of the other Spartans that were longtime squad mates of the Master Chief. Mm. And they're very briefly in it, but it's just what little of it is there was just enough to make me squee with nerd joy.
Man, I can't imagine Halo 4 being a Game of the Year contender. And I think that's what sucked me into buying the game day one now.
I was going to wait too, but then I saw their gameplay demo from E3, and then I went to Amazon and pre-ordered. Like, I'm not... this isn't a midnight release for me. It's just... But it's a day one.
I don't think anything's a midnight release for me anymore. I don't want to deal with that bullshit. I can't stand GameStop. I don't want to go deal with that stuff. If I can get it off Amazon and they can just ship it to me the day it comes out, I'd much rather go that route.
Yeah, I can understand that. I would have done the Mists of Pandaria midnight launch, but I had class the next day, and I have to wake up at 6:30 so I can get on the train to get downtown in time. So, I know I sound like a responsible adult.
Yeah. I was getting up at 6 to leave at 6:30 to get to the office by 7. Back in Fresno. Now.
Well, some of us like to take a shower before we leave the house.
Oh, yeah, I don't eat breakfast.
You crazy Persian.
I just don't care about. Maybe I'll take a Pop-Tart and eat it in the car or something, but I don't sit and eat breakfast at home. I get up, I do what I gotta do, and I get out of the house.
Oh, see, for me, there's a Dunkin' Donuts in my train stop, or at my train station.
Oh, nice.
So I just grab a coffee and maybe a donut, and then just hop on the train.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast at home is just so inconvenient to me.
I wouldn't say it's inconvenient. I just never have anything here, and I don't feel like spending the time doing it when I can pay somebody a small amount of money to do it for me.
Yeah.
So...
So would you agree that the world runs on Dunkin'?
I totally would. Every now and then I get asked by fellow students and people downtown, where is a Dunkin' Donuts?
Nice.
And they're all like, oh, I usually go to Starbucks, but it's so expensive. And I'm like, well, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. Like, and I point out like on the map how there's like 10 of them around the school. So, well... That's an hour and a half, guys.
Yeah, I think we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
All right, so well...
That was episode 44,
yeah.
In parentheses, 100.
Okay.
And I just killed it right there. Damn it.
No, it's cool. We're still getting our podcast legs back.
Yeah.
It's been 3 months. We're allowed a couple of hesitations and missteps.
Oh no, next week we gotta bring back the A game.
Yeah. Tell you what, next week just do an hour on Mass Effect 3 again.
I said A game, not bitter game.
Isn't that really kind of our sweet spot though?
I think we need to expand our repertoire, you know?
Or we can talk about how Cyclops is an asshole for an hour.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that real fast. Phoenix thing is gone. There's more mutants, and it was about, I don't know, 12 issues too long.
How many issues was it in total?
12.
Well, the ABX was 12. All the crossovers added to that. I think it was like a total of 60 or 70, including all the...
Yeah, if you include the... Like, I mean, Wolverine and the X-Men, I think, had 3 issues in that run. Uncanny X-Men had a few issues. The Avengers blissfully didn't really deal with it. And then there was the AVX Versus book, which was just the fights.
See, that sounds like it'd be kind of cool, because you have... See, I still don't get Colossus and Juggernaut, the Colognaut, together.
They're apparently separate now.
Really? That's good.
Yeah, I'm reading the AVX Consequences book, which is also kind of lame, but I just can't not buy it for some stupid reason. Poor impulse control is what I say. Yeah, he appears to be without all of that power somehow now.
Interesting.
He also has a Colossus beard. And in case anyone was wondering, yes, it apparently does transfer over to his steel form.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's kind of silly because, like, Magneto comes to talk to him because all the people who had the Phoenix power are now in hiding. Really, all of the people who were the main characters in the Uncanny X-Men books are hiding.
Right.
Because they're all kind of like terrorists and war criminals. Way to go, Cyclops. But he somehow still thinks he's in the right. Dick.
Shocking. Douche. Fucking Cyclops.
But... Yeah, it's a. But I mean, it's interesting to see where the Marvel Universe is going to go from here. I guess the whole Marvel Now thing's going to be kind of cool. Oh, and the Hulk showed up for like all of about 3 pages of the Avengers X-Men crossover, and he was taken out of the fight masterfully by Cyclops by exploiting the one weakness that the Hulk has. He can't fly. So it's like the big. Huge climactic battle at the end. He basically is just juggling the Hulk. Because the Hulk can just... I mean, seriously, all he has to do is punch Hulk up into the air.
Right.
Wait, punch him into the air again. And the Hulk is effectively out of the fight.
Sure.
You know? I mean, otherwise, he has infinite power, but he still can't beat gravity.
Yeah. I guess you just have to have enough power to be able to get him up like that. In the first place,
yeah.
And to withstand any potential damage that could occur to you in the pursuit of cutting him into the upper atmosphere.
Yeah, at that point, he was the Dark Phoenix, and he was
right.
The only one who still had Phoenix power, and he had just killed Charles Xavier. So, he was not in the best of places.
I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Dude, I don't know either. But apparently,
how many times
like,
have they killed Xavier now?
How many
I don't
times
know,
have
I think,
they killed everyone?
Well, whatchamacallit, Jean Grey's going to be coming back soon.
Yeah, I saw the little teaser for that.
But it's past Jean Grey. So she's going to come into a future where she finds out she's dead and that her boyfriend in the past becomes a war criminal and a dick.
Becomes
a dick. Well, when he was a teenager, it was okay. You know, because he was just a teenager. You know, you're kind of allowed to be a dick as a teenager. You're just expected to grow out of it.
Right.
You know, he just didn't. So. But yeah. We can talk about that next time.
Yeah.
That'll we can make next time a comics episode.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'll find a comic shop here and pick up the issues and...
I also recommend picking up the first 11 issues of Batman.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the Night of the Owls or whatever?
Yeah, the Court of the Owls storyline. It's awesome. And now Death of the Family is starting up, which is the return of the Joker.
Nice.
And that, after the first issue, is going to be nuts. Like, flat out, complete batshit crazy. So,
I hope so.
Yeah.
That would be his MO.
I think that the best part is that he still hasn't actually reattached his face. So he just has like a leather band wrapped around his head and his face hangs off of it like a drape. And if that doesn't just kind of like make everything just 10 times crazier, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I don't buy it. Infection. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You're right, but I'm fairly certain that he like actually took care of it. You know, so he wasn't like all just like I have exposed muscle and subcutaneous skin layers.
I suppose, but then isn't his face as it's hanging over his new face, isn't that going to start rotting? And then he's going to end up inhaling all of that rotting flesh.
I think you're applying far too much real-world logic to a comic book. You know, we're not talking about like a Splinter Cell game here.
That's true.
You know, and even those go a little overboard.
Yeah.
All right.
But they're still great, so it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. I think we can all agree, though, that the realest game that has ever come out, without a doubt, I mean, absolute no argument here, has got to be Assassin's Creed.
Well,
I mean, it's the perfect portrayal of real-world history that really happened, really, and how everybody is a parkour master that can jump into hay bales from 3,000 feet in the air and be fine.
I buy it.
I literally just pulled that game off of my shelf to call it. Otherwise, it probably would have ended up being either Dead Space 2 or Driver San Francisco.
I'd say Never Dead, I think, was pretty realistic.
What about Kinect Adventures?
God.
You know, we were talking about the hay bales. Did you ever play Witcher 2?
No.
As you're roaming around one of the towns, you'll come across a broken wagon of hay with a dead priest in it who's wearing white robes with a red trim as he's splattered in the hay with a nice little this wouldn't actually happen thing.
Nice.
The Witcher 2 is so good.
Yeah.
So it's good. Oh God.
I'm looking it up on Steam.
Well, and then there's the Cyberpunk 2077. That's coming out from CD Projekt Red as well. And it's with the actual creator of Cyberpunk as a consultant on the game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they released their dev kit for their engine, for the Red engine. So it's for free, so that people can create their own stories and adventures within their development.
Wow, the enhanced edition of Witcher 2 on Steam is $30.
Jesus, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, and if you get it from a physical copy, it's like $39 right now, and you get a lot of cool stuff with it.
Hmm.
Saw it at Best Buy for $39.99.
It's hard as shit, but it's good.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I don't know if it's XCOM hard, but it's hard.
No, I wouldn't call it XCOM hard. I'd call XCOM slightly sadistic, and I'd call Witcher 2 hard.
That's actually a pretty good line between the two there.
Oh, no, I do like sadistic things. No, I don't.
But no, in spite of it, XCOM is really just amazing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Ooh, there's a Tomb Raider deal going on Steam right now. 75% off Tomb Raider Legend, Underworld, and Anniversary.
Those are not as good as you'll remember, honestly.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not purchasing them anyway.
Yeah, I got them, I think it was PS Plus had them, PlayStation Plus had them for free or something, and not good. Wait for the new one.
I might not even play that. So, I think we should call it, guys. I think we're losing steam.
Yeah. I think we're done for the day. But, cool. Alright, well, this has been episode 44. see you next week. Bye.
Oh, my goodness.